Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another Fireside Chat. Tonight, I'm pleased to have Regina Norland as my guest. In addition to being an author, spiritual teacher, and counselor, Regina is a radio host at Earth Angel Radio, as well as an angel therapist and medium, color therapist, and teacher. In her work, she helps others to recognize their true self and to become aware of and connect with their own uniqueness. She encourages and empowers her clients to live the life of their dreams. Regina's own uniqueness shines through everything she does, and the main message that she spreads in this world is, be who you are and do what makes your heart sing, because it is the most important job that we have come here to do. So let's hear more from Regina now. Hi, Regina. How are you?
Hi. Hi. Doing really well. It was very interesting. As the time came closer to the show, I felt I was experiencing like the show being on the radio. So as from the other side, because as you said, I am also a radio talk show host,
mm-hmm.
and I have a lot of guests on my show. But
yes.
It's always different to be on this other side, to be a guest on a show.
Yes, it is, isn't it? It's
yeah.
so funny. I've been doing this for about 4 years now, and I've mm-hmm. done a couple of shows where I'm the guest,
mm-hmm.
and it is a completely different experience, isn't it?
It is.
It's all fun, but, you know, it is just different.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I have a preference about which side I prefer, but I think in some ways it's easier to be on this side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, well, anyway, you wrote the book, The Power of Being Different, Embrace Your Uniqueness, and it has a wealth of really powerful information in it. And I just wanted to start out, you know, where did your journey of self-discovery and your spiritual awakening begin? And where did it begin?
Yeah, originally I come from Latvia,
ah.
and for those who may not know, it's like a small country in Europe, and I guess the spiritual journey started actually there. I wasn't consciously aware of it then, but the time when I started to become consciously aware of was when I started to travel, which was about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And that's when I learned, because all my life, you know, as the title of the book says, in The Power of Being Different, I felt different, and I didn't really know what to do with it. And
uh-huh.
if you read the book, like, it tells how I went through all these challenges of being, like, teased and laughed at, and even my parents wouldn't really understand me. And then I somehow thought that there wasn't anybody else out there who felt like I felt, or like see. So I also experienced, like, you know, spirit visits and seeing colors and auras. And then once I started to travel, then I met other people who also had experienced the same thing, or who were actually okay with these spiritual experiences when I told them about it. They didn't try to say that it's not okay.
Uh-huh.
Experience. And yeah, it sort of kind of happened just naturally. Kind of, yeah.
Well, I know what you're talking about, because I always felt different when I was a kid. I mean, I had bohemian parents for one thing,
mm-hmm.
and they raised me differently than everybody else, and I never felt like I fit in anywhere.
Yeah.
And later on, I discovered that the main reason why was because I was empathic as a child. And I'm sure that, you know, that was the case for you too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you feel everything that happened? I mean, it's like you can sense things about other people that maybe they're not even aware of themselves.
Yes, I did. I did sense things, and often I would also pick up the energy of other people.
Oh, yes.
That it sort of stuck with me, and I
yeah.
didn't know that it was other people's energy.
Yes.
Energy, so it was
yeah. Yeah, that's really important to know, too, because a lot of times, you know, when we're feeling depressed or down or something like that, we think it's something with us, and it's not always that way. Sometimes we're just picking up something that's someone else's, and we have to learn how to distinguish and remove those energies.
Yes,
which I'm sure that you do that with your clients.
Yeah, and the one thing that I think is also very important, which I think is happening nowadays more than like 10 or 20 years ago, is to have people around who support us, like, or anybody, support anybody who feels maybe different or who feels something out of maybe ordinary.
Yes. Yes.
And somebody who is there to tell it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not like something weird and you shouldn't be talking about it. So.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I share something else in common that, a couple of things, actually. You had a very special grandmother, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Let's hear a little bit about her, because I also did. And I think this is a really, I think many people in the audience probably had special grandparents or aunts or uncles. And I'd like to hear more about your grandmother. She sounds like an interesting lady.
Yes, she was. And we never really talked about it. When I grew up, we never really talked about this connection that we both shared and that we had.
Uh-huh.
But it was something that was, it was just there. It was there. We both felt it. And we had these different like conversations about the how things are. And for those who may not know, Latvia is a country where being or living by the laws of nature or following the nature rhythms is just very natural. Just by being born there, it's like just there. So my grandma had all these natural things, like on a physical level, like we would do where like picking the different herbs, or like, you know, doing one of the stories that I shared in a book was also about like how to plant the seeds. She had this whole system of like following the moon phase or the days.
Yes.
When and how, and then I think it's just like there's so much.
Yeah.
That it could be like almost the whole show.
It could be, couldn't it? You know.
Yes, but yeah, we did say we had this connection, which we, as I said, we never talked about it, but we just knew it was there, both of us.
Now, you also mention the Indigo Kids in your book, and I started researching those about 6 or 7 years ago. I think you mentioned that you're also an Indigo. Would you like to explain a little bit more about who the Indigo Kids are and what they're here to do and why?
Yes. Indigo children. The very first time that when I came across this term and when I actually started to feel this connection and feel like, hey, it actually sounds like me.
Yeah.
Was also during the angel therapy practitioner course taught by Dorian Virtue, which I came to take a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read about these indigo children, and what indigo children are, they are children, kind of like the new wave of children that started to be born also before, but a lot of them were born in 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And they came with this special mission besides their like ordinary mission, just like, you know, for fulfill, like do something for the personal growth.
Right.
They also had this global mission to kind of break the walls, to break the old systems.
Mm-hmm.
In like in, it could be not only like on a spiritual way, but also on a physical plane to break all these. I mean, physical plane, I mean like something that's visible, like, you know, and they have really, one of the greatest characters that indigos have is this warrior spirit. But they had to be like warriors to break down these systems. And they are the ones who don't like to follow the rules if the rules don't make sense.
Yes.
they are very much into like feelings. Into feeling things, and one other thing that's important to indigo children is things have to be fair.
Yeah.
And here it comes in where like things in the past where there were many things that weren't fair, and even nowadays things are not fair, like in politics. And,
that could be a whole show too.
Yeah, but also rules in school often are not fair, or like and that's like one of the things that indigos came here to almost like show that there can be a different way how to do things, and show a different way. Not only show that there can be a different way, but also to show this different way.
Yes, yes.
How to be, and that's why they need this warrior spirit, and that's why very often they are not understood.
Yeah.
Because they are doing something, like, different.
Yes, and rebellion is usually considered a negative thing nowadays, even though the country was founded on rebellion.
Yeah, but luckily enough, nowadays more and more people have learned and about indigo children and about other children as well. Like now there are crystal children coming in.
Mm. And there's rainbows, aren't there?
Yes, and there are rainbows as well.
And the way I understand, I have a limited knowledge of this, so just correct me. The crystals have a crystal, golden crystal clear aura. And they have different skills or psychic abilities than the indigo, don't they?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned about this aura, because I completely forgot about the aura. But yeah, the name indigo was given because of the indigo color in aura.
Mm-hmm.
And crystal children, yes, they do have this crystal in aura. The crystal children are considered to be the next generation of these new age or children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The indigo children came with this warrior spirit to break down the old systems.
Uh-huh.
And crystal children, now that the way has been cleared. Maybe not completely, but,
right.
You know, the most work has been done.
Right.
Then crystal children come in, and they sort of do the similar thing where they show this different way,
mm-hmm.
but they do it with love.
Wow.
They don't have the warrior spirit.
Wow.
Everything comes from unconditional love.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
And very many crystal children do their work and their mission through music.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so music is one of the things, and very often these crystal children, they start to sing before they actually talk. And often they don't even get that here on this planet Earth, we're supposed to talk.
Oh,
they just communicate telepathically.
Right, right. I've heard that.
Yeah, so... And they are very, very attracted to crystals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about only about their aura.
Right.
It's about actual crystals.
And the crystals that's said are, that's a whole nother show too.
Yeah.
But they are said to contain vast amounts of information about our history and, you know, the records and information that can be tapped into. And used as well. I think that in Atlantis it was said they used crystals quite a bit for powerful things.
Yeah, they did in Atlantis, they were actually, the interesting thing about Atlantis, which I found, is that they were, like now we have computer,
mm-hmm.
where we can find all kind of information that we need. In Atlantis, they had crystals.
Wow.
They had crystal skulls. They had, like, there were different regions in Atlantis, and each region had this one big crystal skull, and people just had to connect with this crystal skull, and they would find the information that they needed.
Wow. That sounds a lot more fun than a computer.
Yes.
Do you think that, from what you can see, from your perspective, does it look as if there were enough indigos that came in during that time? And you know, of course, indigos can be older as well as our age, and there's some that are even in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
But does it appear that there really is a paradigm change going on now? I mean, is it working? When is the injustice going to go away?
Well, nobody has ever asked me this kind of question, if it's working, but it's a good question.
Oh, thanks.
I do believe that it is working. I mean, we can see now, with the new president that America has now and how it all went. But not only that, it's just the way I see it, and like also when I was writing the book, I thought it's like, These changes that are happening now, there are so many people who are like losing their jobs
mm-hmm.
nowadays, and there are so many people who just are at the point where they think, oh, well, what am I meant to do in this life?
Mm-hmm.
And there are more than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people who are very open to spirituality. They're very open to learn more about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just getting more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And bigger. And I see this is the big part big proves that it is working.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, I mean, I really believe that everybody needs to, like all the, as I said in the book, like all we need to do is just be ourselves. And in the past, people have very often relied on the outside sources, like, you know, what the politicians say, what the government says, what the people around us say, what the neighbors say, what the other family members say, and tell us to do. But now, with all these things happening, these outside things sort of breaking down and like disappearing, these outside sources, let's say the stock market thing that comes up to me, which was such a like big challenge, or probably still is. I don't watch TV, so I don't know much about it, but still the idea.
Yeah.
It's an outside source. And that's, and then when it's taken away, then people are left with themselves. And if they haven't developed this relationship with themselves, then now is like the perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
And that way I think it is really working, because people are realizing more and more that this is not really what I want to do in my life.
Well,
this is not really what I like. So,
well, you know, I hadn't thought about that, about people losing their jobs, that actually could be quite a beneficial and positive
mm-hmm.
Thing to happen, because, you know, I never enjoyed working in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I ever had a boss that I liked.
And,
you know, the whole structure is just mm-hmm. so rigid and unyielding. And it's skewed in the direction of those on the top. And I think, you know, what you said is what's happening today. It's like the bottom of the pyramid is starting to shift around, and the top is going to be jostled off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's going to be a new, maybe some new forms of ways of living that will come out of this.
Mm-hmm. I think it's already happening.
Yeah, I do too. Do you follow any of the 2012 stuff, the Mayan or the other prophecies that say that, you know, we're headed towards a global shift in dimensions and consciousness?
I do know a little bit, but I'm not very much into it. I'm just seeing it as being a time like this 2012. I'm seeing it as being time, if not like all the people on the planet, then most of the people are going to be in this space where we are going to do what makes our hearts sing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be that shift, because everything that's happening is, the way I see it, is just going towards that.
Huh. Yeah, it does seem that way. And the parts that are not going in that direction are just kind of falling away.
Yeah, they are just... And they're just kind of fading away, and as more people are focused, and now with all the economy crisis, more and more people are thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And then, like, you know, since they have lost what they had, then it's like, okay, since they need to start almost like from the beginning, some of them, then it's like, well, why don't I do then some things that I feel good about?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the only thing is that I think there might be a little difficulty with people coming from survival at first, because there's going to be fear about, you know, how to just survive. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because we have so many things, you know, so many, literally so many things in our lives that cost money that have to be supported. And I think that's going to be a good thing to shift our focus away from these things which take our attention away from ourselves, and divest ourselves from things like the televisions and the radios and the gadgets and the cell phones and the new cars and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you were born in a country that was connected to the land, and that's a mystical and magical experience, and it can't be replaced. And, you know, we're so disconnected from the source of all things now that we really are out of whack. And, you know, it's time to, you know, balance the scales again.
Yeah, this is really like the great time. I always think that it's very, very important how we look at things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what the angel therapy practitioner, like angel therapy teacher, Doreen, always says that it's not the problem that is a problem, but that's how we look at this problem. Like, we can choose to look that it's like really all so bad, and what am I going to do? And we can look other way. It's like, wow, great. This came up for a reason. There is some kind of lesson here. So what's the lesson? What can I do to improve my life from this challenge?
Yes, and also how to transform our problems. And just like you said, to see that what is in front of us is something positive that will help us expand and grow. No matter what it is, even if it seems like a hardship at the time, It always turns out to be something that helped us move a little further along our path. You mentioned Doreen Virtue, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, was she the one that taught you about angel therapy?
Yes, she is the one whose angel therapy practitioner's course I took, and the mediumship course.
Oh, really? How was that?
That was a really great experience.
Huh.
And what also is great, that it's not just the class, but then, like, you know, then it becomes, it's almost like this one big angel family.
Oh, nice.
We meet other people, and then we can keep in touch with each other, and there's, like, the message board for those who have went through this course. So, yeah, it was really, really magical. Angelic.
Yes, and I wanted to segue into this to the discussion about angels, because a lot of people believe that, you know, that we are angels, and that the angels come and incarnate into bodies, and also that they enter in briefly for a moment or two just to do specific things all the time. I've had those experiences myself. What has been your experience with the angelic realms, and what can you share with our listeners?
Yeah, I the way how angels came into my life was pretty unique.
Okay.
Meaning that I never really thought about angels or ever being connected with angels. I always had associated angels with the church.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I have never went to church. I didn't grow up in any religion, and
oh, good.
And then, yes,
fortunate
so.
For you.
Yes, I don't need to unlearn the things. so you know, because of that belief that I had, there was no way that I would ever be connected with angels. So and then it just kind of came. I started to take the color therapy class. I took a color therapy class, and people were just talking about angels and how angels leave feathers when they have visited us, and how we can ask angels for help. And I was listening, and I was doing my best to be open-minded about it.
Uh-huh.
But I had no experiences to share, and at that point, I wasn't really quite sure if they are really, if they really mean what they say, if that's really so, or is it kind of like a fairy tale?
Right, right.
So, and then it just started somehow where I was thinking after this color therapy class, I just started to, I was thinking not about angels, I was thinking about this color therapy. How could I do it, and how could I start to offer some color readings, consultations, and so. And there it was. I was like, I was walking down the street, and suddenly once I was thinking, you know, walking in my thoughts, and then suddenly felt like I'm supposed to, like, look up, and in front of me there was this white feather floating down. So, yeah, that was my first experience, and of course I thought it was just, like, coincidence.
Yeah.
Then those things just happened more and more, and like I would leave the house and come back, and I would find feathers on my bed. and those were the first signs that I got, and then I started to experience angels actually visiting me, where I would like actually hear their whispers, and I would hear some music, some sounds, and it always happened in the times or in the moment where I was thinking something that was important to me.
Uh-huh.
Something that I was very, like, from my whole heart, I was really, like, either worried or I was wondering, I just really liked something, and I was wondering what could I do with this,
uh-huh.
like, thing or area in this area that I like to improve it or move forward with further. So, yeah, that's kind of how it all started with angels, and then I think I have the whole chapter in the book how I got to this angel therapy class, how angels actually they told me I'm supposed to go, and when I say told, I just got this sense.
Right, right.
And like, you know, heard is with my inner soul, with my inner eye, or heard in my mind,
mm-hmm.
telling that this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm sure you have experienced it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's almost like something takes over.
Yes.
The body. And we just, like, do things, not even knowing why we're doing it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so that's kind of how they did. And then from there, it's just like they're part of... Once I came to this angel therapy class, then, you know, from that day on, even more than before, they have been actually a part of my life every single moment. I give them all kinds of jobs. One thing about the angels is that we have to ask them in order for them to help us.
Yeah, that's very important, isn't it?
Yes.
They can't step in and help us because of the free will thing. But if we ask, they can, you know, it opens the door and they can do anything we ask.
Yeah, and then one thing which is really cool, which I discovered, it's also very important how we ask. So with this free will thing, I told angels, I give you full permission at any time, no matter when it is, and just do whatever it takes to help me to be on my path and do whatever it takes to help me.
I like that. Whatever. That's good.
So in that way, even if I remember, even if I forget, ask them.
You've already asked, and you don't have to keep doing it over and over. Well, that's good. I like that. I'll have to remember that one.
And then the other thing with angels, what I found was really good was, angels, please give me the sign.
Oh.
Like, what am I supposed to do? But give the sign or give this message to me so loud and clear that I cannot possibly miss it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and what are some of the things that showed up for you that way? I mean, did you, you know, how did that manifest for you?
when the angels tell me loud and clear?
Yeah.
Well, they just keep, let's say, I can share a little bit my latest experience about with the angels is I have been feeling that I need to move.
Okay.
And not only, like, spiritually move, but really on a physical plane, move.
Yeah.
And I am pretty, I'm not really tied up to just about anything, so I could just, like, you know, pick my things and just move.
Uh-huh.
But then the question is, where do I move to? Where do I go?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, because if the whole world is open, then where do I go? So I asked angels, I said, okay, angels, I feel like I'm meant to move somewhere, and I feel like I need some big changes in my life, like for better, and just tell me what to do, like, to give me some kind of sign.
Mm.
And then, from that moment on, I kept getting everything about Hawaii.
Oh.
I walked in a store, the very same store that I've been going to just about every other day, the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And it's like this kind of organic store. They have also not only food, but some books and oils and like this whole big thing. And then I suddenly saw this Maui volcano oil. It just jumped out at me. So the next day I walked in the store, I see an Hawaiian yoga DVD.
Oh.
The next thing I know, I talk to the guy in the store who is promoting some kind of like vitamins or so, and he has this necklace and it says there is a yin and yang symbol and there is written Hawaii. My friend and I, we rent the movie, and at the end of the movie, the main character in the movie buys two tickets to his assistant to go on vacation to Hawaii.
Oh.
So, and it just happened, like, every single day, things like that.
That's wonderful.
And somebody calls me, or other things, like, somebody called me, and just kind of, we were talking about some business stuff, and suddenly this person who I had never met before started to tell me about wanting to move to Hawaii. That he likes Hawaii a lot, and he wants to move to Hawaii. And then somebody sending me this the email telling about some workshop in Hawaii. So, and it happens like every single day, something about Hawaii. So that's how they bring the messages very loud and clear.
That sounds pretty obvious to me.
Yeah.
And what's funny, I've even been thinking about Hawaii lately. Not to move there, just to visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
But you mentioned something interesting about about synchronicity, and I think that's really important for people to understand that, you know, to not just dismiss the things that we get our interest. For instance, you know, when the feather fell and you looked up and so on and so forth, and when there are so many of those that add up, that you can no longer deny it, that something is, a hidden hand is at work. You can't, you can no longer say, okay, well, that was just a feather, that was a bird, you know, and then you keep saying, well, that was just this and that, but there's a certain point, you know, when it just happens constantly, and you think, all right, just give it up. It wasn't coincidence. Something's going on here.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for people to trust that feeling inside and to go with it and develop it. And that is our intuitive senses.
It is. It is very important. It's like I say about, we learned in the angel class that, you know, it's not only enough to ask. Of course, angels are going to help, but it's a teamwork.
Yes,
and not only with angels. Like, you know, there may be people who are not very much into angels, but they believe in God, or they believe in fairies, or the universe. They call it universe.
Or guides.
So whoever it is, when we ask for the guidance, when we ask for help, it's important to work as a team.
Yeah.
And take the action.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people call it their team. Instead of calling them angels or this or that, they say, my team.
Oh,
and that
cool.
way, you know, it keeps it kind of generic, and you don't have to believe in this or that or the other thing. It's a team effort. That's really good. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, and one more thing about these synchronicities is that if we see something one time, or we hear something one time, and it kind of figures out something within us, but then we can think, oh, well, just, you know, it just happened. But then we hear the same thing the second time.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a very good, like, indicator that there might be a message. And then if we hear or see it the third time, that means, like, definitely there is a message there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, people have, there's new numbers are used quite a bit, too. It's said that the 1111 is a number that comes up for a lot of people, and we have our own personal numbers, you know, that seem to keep cropping up. Well, you'll glance up at the clock, and it's 333 or something like that. And I kind of use those as little ticklers to be a little bit more awake in that moment. And to be more present, just think, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, what's going on around me now, and where am I, and so on and so forth, and just be a little more present and in my body and aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doreen has actually this book, Angel Numbers.
Mm-hmm. I've read some of that. I haven't read that book, but yeah.
Yeah. So there's this, like, angelic messages. From one to 999.
Yes.
So for each number, like as you said, like, you know, we see 3, 3, 3. I mean, I'm sure there are all kinds of other things in numerology or so where we can look up what it means when we see these numbers. But
yeah, I think that's really interesting. I've looked up her charts before and found them very interesting. I always forget what they, you know, I always forget what certain numbers mean, but then. You know, if I feel it's really important to figure it out, I'll go onto the internet and do a search on it.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's always interesting. I mean, it kind of leads you down an interesting path, and you learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
What about four-legged angels? Do you believe in those?
Four-legged angels.
Needs dogs and cats and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course I do. Of course I do. I do believe everything that's positive and
and loving.
And loving, and comes from the place of love.
Yeah, yeah. And that's almost everything that's natural, isn't it?
Yeah.
In and the part that isn't coming from love is the part that's separating from the natural part. Yeah, I have a little dog, and I learn more about love from her than I have from anybody. You know, she loves people so much that when she's in the car driving with me, and if she even sees a person, she'll just whine and want to go out and jump all over them and kiss them.
Yeah,
it's kind of embarrassing because I can't hang on to her. and people... love her, and then some people who are not interested in animal affection kind of shoo her away, but that's okay.
Yeah, I always think with animals, and especially dogs, because dogs are like most, they express their love most.
Yeah.
Like, or most openly, is I always think it's so amazing. Whenever we people come home, for example, so the animals are always, like 100% happy to see us.
Oh, yes.
If people could do this, would do the same thing. Wow.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. You know, that is such a big lesson. And when I come back to the house and I'm just kind of dragging my sore body around and thinking, oh, what a world it is. And I walk through the door and she's just so happy to see me and jumping up and down and kissing me. And it's like she's never seen me before. You know, and you can't stay in a bad mood for a second when you have that experience. You just can't, you know.
Yeah. They have a very unique mission.
Yeah.
Like a love mission.
Absolutely. Love. Absolutely. How do we increase our love power? Because that seems to be a recurring message throughout the ages. You know, love is all there is, and the love heals everything. And it's been said so many different ways, and repeatedly and over, and yet it does seem to be the core of everything.
Mm-hmm.
That it all comes back to love.
It is. And I always think that it's important, which is also probably heard many, many times, is to have this this love for ourselves. And how we do that is we create the relationship with ourselves.
Mm.
It's like with everybody. As more we connect with somebody, as more time we spend with somebody, as more we fall in love with these either people or animals or things that we do.
Yeah.
It's and it's like really as more time, as more energy we invest in something.
Yes.
Then that's something that kind of helps. It's not like the only thing, but something that I have found. Really helps, and it's the same thing. We often do it, and most of the time, and we do it with other people.
Mm.
We invest this time and energy into other people or different situations, but often we forget about investing time in ourselves.
Yeah, very good, very good.
Yeah, but once we do that, then everything else just sort of falls into place.
Yes.
And often we don't even need to do anything else like outside that because we're just radiating this energy of love.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, and so many people are they're trying to figure out how to love themselves by having a relationship with someone else who they are trying to get to love them to fill the hole that only they can fill themselves.
Yeah.
And so you have all these dysfunctional relationships of people trying to, you know, suck the love out of someone else and heal themselves, and it can never work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important.
And I think these days also about this, you know, people losing these jobs. And also I have experienced, maybe it's just I'm surrounded by people like that, but I've experienced so many people breaking up or so many families splitting up.
And I
really think that it is, like, the reason for that has been that they have not loved themselves in the first place. And now that these energies and things are changing, it becomes more and more clear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, so it's...
And then it looks, from the outside, you know, if you're looking at it, it looks quite chaotic, but really, it's just the truth is surfacing.
Yes, it
you
is.
Know, the truth is coming to the light, and, you know, the truth is, a lot of people aren't supposed to be together, you know, or they're just hanging on for, you know, the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a really good point, too.
And it also has to do a lot with attachments.
I think this
also are learning. Even if it doesn't happen to us, maybe, at the moment or so, but still by seeing, like, people happening, it happening to the people people around us, so that it has to do with attachments, like also how much, how can we let go, or what can we do of like letting go, or
yes.
how ready we are to let go, how willing we are to let go and do something.
Yes, yes, and what is it they say, that if you let something, someone go with love, and they come back to you, oh, I can't remember how it goes, but something about if you let people go with love, and they'll come back to you, and if they don't, then they weren't supposed, then they didn't love you anyway.
Yes, it is exactly like that.
Yeah. How can people, you know, you mentioned with those busy lives and televisions and distractions and cell phones and little gadgets and things, how can we empower ourselves and motivate ourselves to discover what really makes us happiest?
One thing is maybe just a very simple thing. It requires to just be with themselves. Some people say, like, do the meditation, but it can be just be by themselves. Just take time, let's say even 5 minutes would do at the beginning for people who are busy. And I think 5 minutes is something that everybody could find in a day. And sometimes we even say, well, you know, if you are at the work, just go in the bathroom if you need, like, 5 minutes.
Just
a minute. Just take a couple deep breaths, and breath is something that I found to be a very, very important thing, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. There are like millions of people who have found it to be very important, because, and what I call is like this belly breath, because our inner power center, this, like this connection with our true self, it's in our belly, like in solar plexus area, right, between the belly button and the rib cage.
Okay.
And if we just breathe, like have the shallow breath in our chest, so this fresh air doesn't reach like directly our inner power center. So if we just take two deep breaths, just even one deep breath, where we breathe with our belly, that only takes a few seconds. And that already creates that connection.
Oh,
like invokes something. And it's not really something like touchable, but it invokes something within us. And helps us, this connection. It's almost like, opening the door already.
Oh, interesting.
It's like, you know, when people say, oh, well, just take a few deep breaths, just like before the show, take deep breaths. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Sometimes we get so absorbed that we forget to breathe.
Yes, and that's like the beginning, because then we start to notice, how we actually breathe, and then we can start to notice like our body. How do we feel actually? Just here, I am all by myself. I could do like anything, but no, I just choose to be by myself at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Just take a few deep breaths, and then, okay, how do I actually feel right now? And then just notice how body feels, and not think in the mind, but just notice how body feels. And body always gives messages. I believe it's impossible not to feel anything. You might feel some tension in the shoulders or maybe somewhere else. Noticing how we feel. And then like from there, just can do can ask some questions, like just in our mind, okay, so what do I do? I feel this tension in my body, so what do I do to let go of it? So how can I improve my life? Or like, okay, I have this situation now, this challenging situation, what can I do? And just put out this question, and so on. That's kind of those little tiny steps that we can do that take only a few seconds or a few minutes. Which is very simple to do, I believe, for even the most busiest people.
Yeah.
Or when we take a shower, we can do that. Everybody does it. It's not something we do. And when we take a shower, we can imagine that we cleanse away everything that we don't need anymore.
Yes, I like that one. I do that myself.
Yeah, so that's something that doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah.
And of course, if people want to learn more and get in touch with their true selves more, there's always like information and opportunities in abundance everywhere to be found.
Yeah. Yes, and it seems like it's becoming easier to get the information lately.
Yeah. Yes, it is. All the books and the radio shows.
Yes, well, you have your radio show too, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Kind of guests do you have on your show?
Well, what happens, my radio show is called Embrace Your Uniqueness.
Uh-huh.
And I am I'm focusing on one topic each month.
Oh.
So there's a specific topic for each month.
Huh.
And then I have guests that are more or less experts in this topic.
Oh, interesting.
So, and then we talk about it, and sometimes we do readings on the show. It's call-in show. People can always call in and ask questions. And that's kind of like this. This month is a gratitude month.
Oh, that's a good one. We can never have too much gratitude.
Yeah, so we're talking about the gratitude. Next month is a month of miracles and angels.
Ooh, that sounds like a good one, too. Where is your show? Is that at, what's the website for your show?
Oh, it is at earthangelradio.com.
Okay. That sounds like an interesting show. It's not a BBS radio show, apparently, is it?
No.
No. Well, that's okay. We'll forgive you.
Thank you. I was worried for a moment.
Don't worry. It's all in the family. You talk a little bit about orbs, too, and I know that's becoming very popular. People are starting to take photographs with digital cameras and things, and orbs seem to be showing up everywhere. I mean, it's almost become a commonplace. Do you have experiences with orbs, and what are they?
Yes, I do. I actually had these experiences when I was little.
Oh. Huh.
Already with orbs. I saw these different lights, like they were light, round orbs. And I didn't know what they were. I just saw these different colored lights floating in the air.
Ooh.
So my mom wanted to take me to the eye doctor when I started to tell about them. So I kind of stopped telling. But then I remember I was just, the orbs were showing me, like asking me to follow them.
Oh, wow.
And I wasn't aware of it. Like I wasn't kind of thinking actually much about it. I just saw them and I asked my friends, do you see them? Do you see them? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I saw this orb was floating away, and I started to follow the orbs, and then they would I didn't follow really far.
Yeah.
Because they led me out through the door, and like had to open the door so they would get out.
right.
I mean, I'm sure they could get out too, but like, you know, the one they follow, and then they sort of like disappeared.
Huh.
Like once we walked out, and I never really thought, as a child, I never really thought of asking them what they are.
It sounds like maybe they were nature spirits.
Yeah, it is possible, because I've heard about the orbs, like, you know, when there are white-colored orbs, that those would be angels.
Yeah.
Or more angelic energy, but then there are colored orbs, that they are more related to fairy and nature angel energy.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting because I have a friend in Georgetown who's an artist, and he paints these interesting paintings with their landscapes. And where he lives is a very old property with a 2,000-year-old oak tree. And
wow.
In every painting, you can see faces everywhere. It's like you just look into it, and it takes you down this mystical path, and then all of a sudden you see this face in the distance, and then there's another one. And they're like nature spirits. They're really beautiful. So, I mean, I totally believe in all of that. I think that the unseen realm is much more real than we could possibly imagine.
Yeah, and I think they feel more safe to come out now because of the same fact that more and more people are open to this spirituality and more and more people are open to all these things that in the past may have been considered to be weird and not normal.
Yeah.
They are becoming more normal and more okay.
Thank goodness.
Yes. And yeah.
So Regina, we're almost out of time.
Okay.
And I wanted to make sure that people knew how to find your book and your website before we go.
So my website is stardusthealing.com.
Okay.
And that's where you can find all the information. There is a link to the book. You can also read the introduction, like the first few pages.
Wonderful.
There to just find out what it's all about, and there you can see also a few other things that I do, and there are some pictures as well, and kind of gives more sense.
Well, it's a beautiful book, Regina, and if you just feel the love, you know, that comes out of it, and I want to thank you for sending me a copy for my own personal use. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show, and I send you many blessings and lots of love, and just a big thank you and a hug for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
All right, and I'll tune into yours, too.
Yeah, and blessings to you, all who are listening, and to your show, too.
Oh, thanks a million, Regina. Good night.
Good night.